your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
All right, so let me ask you this. What's going on in Fort Worth? Man, TCU swept this weekend by Cincinnati.
Yeah, it's another team that has not played well away from home and just has not pitched it well. Offense has been inconsistent. Got run ruled yesterday. That was kind of the, it's kind of a telling sign when a team, just on the last day just kind of feels like a little bit of, when you've lost the first two, it kind of feels like a little bit of given, mm-hmm. And that's coming off a week where they lost their midweek against UT Arlington. I can't tell you just because I'm not around the program enough, but mm-hmm. it's been, that team was rolling along undefeated in non-conference play, and then they get to conference play, and it's been a completely different story.
Yeah, they lost to UT Arlington 6-4. And then they go to Cincinnati, and, man, just
they had been just giving a ton of runs on Friday nights. That slowed down a little bit, but it's just not been pretty at all.
You know, 4-2 Friday, 6-2 Saturday, and like you said, they were run ruled yesterday, 13-2. Man, had to be brutal, brutal for them. So. You know, it's weird, and I don't know how much you pay attention to the standings. You know, we're getting to that point in time where they are, but it's still kind of anybody's for the taking, isn't it?
I mean, absolutely, and that's the frustrating thing if you're a fan for teams like a Texas Tech or even a TCU that you feel like they're more talented than the way they've played. Mm-hmm. It feels like, hey, this is a year where it's not, dominated by Texas or TCU, and it's out there for somebody else to win. And even though that you've kind of had your ups and downs, you're not too far off the pack or out of the pack, there. So you have a shot. And so if you can, despite the struggles, if you can get it figured out, then man, you got a shot.
Yeah, because the teams that are ahead of you, you're going to play for the most part. I mean, you're going to play West Virginia, you're going to play Oklahoma, and you're going to play Oklahoma State. And right now it's West Virginia and Oklahoma at the top at 8-4, and K-State and Oklahoma State and Cincinnati and Texas at 7-5, and then Texas Tech and UCF at 8-7. And obviously you've already played UCF and Texas, but, and you're not going to play Cincinnati, but you got, West Virginia coming up at home. Not this weekend, but the following weekend. Then you go to Kansas, and then you have Oklahoma at home, the 3rd, the 4th, and the 5th, and then travel to Oklahoma State May 10th, 11th, and 12th before finishing up with some non-conference games, which in the future will be a conference opponent in Arizona State. So it's still right there in front of you to kind of seize, I guess, more than anything else. But I mean, like you've said, you got to get some things right, or you got to maybe become a little bit more consistent instead of this. It's kind of like Army golf. You know what Army golf is? If you and I were playing the golf together, which we never have, mm-hmm. and we're in the same cart, you hit it left, and then I hit it right, left, right. Okay. It's kind of like you got pitching, but you don't have hitting. You have hitting, but you don't have pitching. Yeah. So it's kind of like Army golf right now.
Okay.
Do you think you and I would ever play golf together?
It's possible.
Would we ride in the same cart, or would you get two other guys to go and say, I sit with Chuck 5 days a week. You sit with Chuck today.
I don't know. What if it was just the two of us? We would have to ride together.
Oh, we would walk.
Or we would walk. Yeah, that would be even better. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that I would want to do that.
Walk. Well, then you get some exercise out of it.
Yeah. 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 Right. No, you're exactly right. 6:36 this morning here on the Morning Drive. Thoughts, comments, Yates Flooring Center chat line. You have a take on the ball game tonight, UConn and Purdue?
I think it's a terrific matchup. I think it's, for the most part, the best two teams in college basketball that for most of the season. I guess you could obviously put Houston into that mix too, mm-hmm. but it feels like these were two teams that very easily you could look at and go, yep, they're gonna be there at the very end, right? Again, I would have put Houston in that mix too. So I think it's a really good matchup. It's interesting. UConn, you know, a good program, but had been kind of quiet for a while, and then they rise up last year and are really good. And it feels like it's a roster that's pretty different than it was last year. Yeah. So obviously a great coaching job there. And then it's interesting with Purdue just because they've been a team that, like you have so eloquently pointed out, have just floundered in the NCAA tournament for many years. It feels like they've underachieved, and now all of a sudden they've got it figured out.
You know, that game, the Purdue-North Carolina State game, was, you felt like that Purdue was pretty much in control of that game, the whole game. And then the Alabama-UConn game, I mean, it was tied with 12:04 to go, and then UConn goes on just the spurt that they have this ability to do, and, you know, the stifling defense and then making shots. And it goes from, you know, 56-56 to 67-58 in the span of about 4 minutes. And it wasn't necessarily the ball game, but that separation, they never were able to kind of climb any closer than that. And then it just, at the end of the game, had some fouls and a couple of threes that UConn made to put it away and for them to win by 14. So like Jeff said in his Sports Center, I mean, it was closer than the score indicated, but, you know, the last 8 minutes of the ball game, UConn pressed its foot on the accelerator and went, we're looking to go back to back here. The question tonight is, to me, is how do you stop or contain Zach Edey? Because, man, he has been obviously terrific.
Yeah, for Purdue. Definitely the question for everybody that's facing that squad. That's the one guy you look at and say, how do we slow this guy down?
63-50 is what Purdue beat North Carolina State by. And so you got 2-1s playing for a title tonight. We'll have it for you on Double T 97.3. It begins at 7 o'clock this evening. We'll talk a little bit about what took place between South Carolina and Iowa. South Carolina goes undefeated and wins the national championship on the women's side. That was yesterday, and Caitlin Clark leaves Iowa without a title.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Time for This Day in Sports History. It is April the 8th, 2024, and here with that is Jeff McGuire.
I'm going to start in 1963. The Detroit Tigers claim pitcher Denny McClain off of waivers from the Chicago White Sox.
That's a pretty good acquisition.
He would go on to win the Cy Young Award in 68 and 69 and the AL MVP in 68. Mm-hmm. You know.
Hey, it happens. Fresh pasture. Fresh place to go play.
40 win this year. So that's all I'm looking for. 40 wins. 1966. American Football League votes in 36-year-old Al Davis as commissioner. After Joe Foss resigns, the appointment will only last 3 months for the AFL merges with the NFL. 1974, Hammerin' Hank Aaron was a Hammerin', number 715 off of Los Angeles Dodger Al Downing, breaking Babe Ruth's record in Atlanta. A year later, Frank Robinson debuts as the first African-American baseball manager when the Cleveland Indians beat the New York Yankees 5-3.
Player manager, I believe. I think he was still an active player as when he took that job.
Excuse me. Getting choked up here talking about John Neely raising to 8-0 on the year. And Kelby Tomlinson drives in the winning run in the 12th as Texas Tech upsets number 5 Texas A&M 4-3. Big win over the Aggies. Getting me all choked up here today. There's another thing that happened in 2019, but it's a thing. We don't need to talk about it.
Okay. Are you aware of what the thing is in 2019?
No.
We don't talk about losses in
2019? Okay.
There's a big one today.
Oh, okay.
We don't talk about it.
Yeah.
You don't acknowledge that we were there. Just happy National Empanada Day.
I am just not a big fan of the empanada. To me, it's always disappointing because it's got that orange kind of flavor. It's not orange flavor. It's that orange kind of innards of it.
You want to explain to me what it is?
I'm thinking of something different.
It's like a Mexican pastry, but it's got a different kind of taste.
Doesn't it have a lot of cinnamon on top and it's fried?
Baked fried turnover consisting of pastry with a filling common in Spain, other southern European countries. Name comes from the Spanish, translates to breaded, that is wrapped or coated in bread. Let's see here.
It's the filling that I don't care for.
Yeah.
Is there a filling? I guess there's, I'm thinking of something different. What do you get usually at a Mexican food restaurant at the end?
Sopapillas.
Sopapillas. That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
I don't know what sopapillas is. Now I want sopapillas.
That's more of in the breakfast kind of. That's the breakfast treat.
Okay.
Yeah.
And on this day, I'm sorry, birthdays. CeeDee Lamb, 25. Robin Wright, 58. Malik Collins, 29. Felix Hernandez, 38. And on this day in 2005, Eric Rudolph agrees to plead guilty to a series of bombings, including the fatal bombing in the 1996 Olympics in Atlanta, in order to avoid the death penalty. He later cited anti-abortion and anti-homosexual views as motivation for his bombings. On July 27th of 1996, a 40-pound pipe bomb exploded in Atlanta's Centennial Olympic Park, killing two people and injuring over 100. Now, a security guard named Richard Jewell was initially considered the prime suspect in this case. But then, on January 16th of 97, two bombs went off at the Atlanta Area Medical Clinic that performed abortions, injuring seven people. In February of that same year, a bomb detonated at a nightclub in Atlanta, injuring four people. And on the 29th, a bomb exploded at the Birmingham, Alabama Women's Health Clinic, killing a security guard and critically injuring a nurse. And that is this day in sports history.
Oh, it's the empanada, according to Juan, and this is correct. The reason you aren't familiar with it is the empanada is normally filled with pumpkin.
Oh, see, there you go.
But it's a different tasting pumpkin. It's not like a pumpkin pie filling or a pumpkin spice, but it's just pumpkin. So that's what that you wouldn't care for it, and that's part of why I don't care for it. All right. Here we go. Raymar Communications, Lubbock-based media group. That's us. We encourage our listeners to shop and listen local. That's why Double T97.3 has teamed up with the Home Zone, making your house a home, to give away a total of $10,000 to lucky local listeners. To get registered, all you have to do is listen to us about this time every morning, 6:45, 8:45, and then our good friends Tech Talk at 4:45 rather, for the local winning word. Then log on to DoubleT973.com. Enter the local winning word of the day for your chance to win weekly cash every Tuesday and Thursday. The more times you enter, the more chances you'll have to win. This is not a national contest. It's a local deal, so the money will be given away here to local listeners. We'll give away one final cash prize of $2,500 at Two Docks on Friday, June the 21st. It's a cash giveaway with 21 local winners from the Home Zone, making your house a home, and Double T 97.3.
Tons of chances to win.
Your winning word today at 6:45, very appropriate, is Cougars. Cougars. Because you're coming off of a three-game sweep of the Cougars, okay? And I can spell that even without looking at it. C-O-U-G-A-R-S. Cougars. There you go. How about that? 6:51.
Well, that doesn't count in the actual spelling bee, though.
Right.
For your, still good. Your record. Still good.
Still good, though.
Yeah, still
good.
A win, yeah. But it doesn't count.
And then the other part of the empanada could be sweet potato. I'd never seen the sweet potato, but it's almost what it tastes more like, sweet potato than pumpkin, because it's not like I said, it's not like pumpkin pie filling. It's the other kind of pumpkin. So now that we've solved that. 6:52 this morning here on the morning drive. We get this question. Is this just a comment that the air feels a little fresher this morning? The air seems a little crisper this morning after a Texas Tech baseball sweep. Reckon Raiders.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually the air is crisper after you have that wind that we had, and then followed by rain, kind of knocks all the dirt out of the air and puts it on the ground and onto your car. But that wasn't the case. We have not had the rain aspect of that. Let me ask
you. Maybe tomorrow.
Maybe tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow. Let me ask you this. Are you excited about the eclipse today?
No.
Okay.
I'm not, you know, angry that it's going to happen or anything like that. But okay. Excited is not a word I would use.
It'll be roughly 80 to 90% of totality today. The peak time for the eclipse, just so you know, so you can go outside and put your glasses on, is at 1:35 today. So you'll be here, mm-hmm. Talking,
chit chatting with Choice.
With Choice, and you can maybe take a peek outside
through all the windows that are in the studio.
Mm-hmm. Take a peek. You have to go outside to peek. The eclipse will begin at 12:18 today, reach maximum at 1:35 today, and then end at about 2:55 today. So the total duration will be roughly 2 hours and 37 minutes here in the Lubbock area, in Lubbock. But there's clouds today that could ruin the whole doggone thing.
So well, that would be disappointing.
That would be disappointing, yes. Mm-hmm. We were not necessarily going to get a total eclipse of the sun today. You have to drive to Dallas to do that if you're interested. Kind of the McKinney area, I think, is the...
Well, good luck if you decide to do that.
To do that.
Yeah.
What'd be cool to be in a plane today and see an eclipse as you're flying? That might be kind of fun.
It'd be different.
It'd be different. Right.
Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
We'll have Red Raider Baseball with Tim Tadlock on the air tonight at 6 o'clock. That'll be from 6 until 7, and then they'll play for a championship tonight in Glendale, the Valley of the Sun. Sun will be still up when they tip that thing off. I don't think it'll be eclipsed. UConn and Purdue will play for a national championship tonight. This from the Yates Flooring Center chat line from our friend Syntex Hank. I wake up, tune in, and hear about Chuck wandering around a party alone and lost, and then swimming camels. Thought, yep, it's the morning drive. Good morning, guys. Good morning, Syntex Hank. We get this. I'll bet you the students at Campbell University knew that camels could swim.
Probably so,
yeah. It's crazy. We went 5-0 last week and gave up 50 runs in that span.
No doubt.
Yeah. Well, all you have to do is outscore the other team and you win, right?
You know, it's like, it's like I talked about after the Baylor series, like would we, and I wasn't, jump off a cliff because you were pitching well, right? And mm-hmm. It felt like, hey, feel better about the fact that feels like you can come back from not hitting. You just had a rough weekend at the plate, but if your pitching is bad, your pitching is bad. Yeah. And usually it tends to stay that way. Well, now you just went through a series where you won all three games. You won all five games in the week. And do you feel great about any of them? Your offense swung it well, clearly. So it's great that you got wins, and, it's better to have five wins than five losses, but it wasn't great baseball. Mm-hmm. It wasn't great baseball because you didn't pitch well and you didn't defend well. And those are things moving forward that you have to do more consistently. Now, for the most part, I think your pitching has been solid, so I'm not ready to give up on those guys at all. But clearly you got to throw it a lot better than you threw it this weekend.
Yeah. Hey, just on a side note, I saw this from Saturday. I did not see his appearance. I just read about it. How great was it to see Brady Trumbello at the ballpark?
Yeah, really cool.
And that was the young man that was hit in the head in practice. And they had him with his parents on Saturday. And they said that he's working on a full recovery, so that's awesome. But I have to think that was a really cool moment there at the ballpark on on Saturday.
Yeah, it was cool to see him out there, and again, knowing that he's recovering from those injuries that were really, really, really serious, and he's on his way back. So that's great, and hopefully he gets to get back on a baseball field someday soon, because you know that's what he really loves doing.
Yeah, and you've talked about this before, but I mean, obviously that happened early in the season, but. That's an arm that you could have used this year as well, especially in the midweek, right?
No question. I mean, he gave you a great start in his one performance of the season. And that was his first ever start as a Red Raider, you know, as a freshman. So to think about what he could be giving you right now and to help you, and then, you know, knowing the other arms that are banged up, man, he would have been useful for mm-hmm. you, no doubt.
Anybody this weekend that we've talked about Gavin Cash, and we've talked about Damian Bravo and Kevin Bazell, but what about some of these other guys from a hitting standpoint this weekend? Did anybody else just really, you go, okay, well, looks like he's swinging the bat better, or he finally had some good luck, or things, he really stepped up in a big way that maybe either A, surprised you, or like, oh, man, that's, we need him as you're moving forward.
Yeah, I think Owen Washburn is swinging the bat a lot better than he had been. He's getting more ABs, and he's coming through for you. Gavin Cash was a guy that I thought, you know, it's kind of interesting. He's kind of changed his approach a little bit, it feels like. I mean, I could be wrong, but it feels like he's shortening up a little bit, and Coach Tadlock has him back in the leadoff spot, and he got on base a bunch this weekend. Had six hits, but he also walked three times. So I think he did a great job hitting in the leadoff spot, kind of setting the table for you, which is not what you expect from a guy that hit 26 home runs the year before. And then obviously he had the grand slam as well. So I really liked his approach. I thought he did a good job kind of setting the table for you. He was a guy that I was really pleased to see his effort this weekend.
Do you feel like that they played just from a hitting standpoint, with guys when they got on base, do you feel like they did obviously they scored a bunch of runs, but did a better job of maybe working the count or being patient at the plate to get their pitch to be able to kind of put the ball in play a little bit better?
I think there were maybe a little bit more of that. I think that you did a lot of the little things that you hadn't been doing offensively, or maybe I shouldn't say little things. They're big things. I mean, you're hitting with two outs. You're driving in runs with two outs. You had a ton of two out runs scored this weekend. That was massive for the Red Raiders. Quite honestly, the difference definitely in the first two games. But I know in the 7-run inning yesterday, five of those were with two outs. So I think Coach Tadlock had to be really happy with that. But the hitting with the runners in scoring position was big this weekend for the Red Raiders.
And that really started
probably the difference in the series, because Houston didn't do as well.
And that really started on Friday night. You were 7 of 16 with runners in scoring position mm-hmm. on Friday night, and they were 5 of 9. And then on Friday night with two outs, you were 10 of 16.
Yeah, eight of the 12 runs you scored on Friday were with two outs.
Yeah, That's like you said, that's massive. All right, 7:21 this morning here on the Morning Drive. Bobby Hot Dog says this, fielding was more to blame than pitching. Pitching wasn't great, but the fielding gave up a ton of runs. Do you concur with that?
I think I would disagree. I would think it was more about the pitching than the fielding.
Okay.
I don't think either were great.
Sorry, what?
I don't think either were great.
Either were great, okay. Somebody has this on the 8 scoring center chat line. Bravo went bananas.
He was good.
Would you use that, like, moving forward if he has another kind of good day, he's going bananas out there?
Probably not.
Slip that note to Hacks. That'd be that's kind of a Hacks line, isn't it? Going bananas. He's going bananas down there, Jamie! Campbell's can swim and he's going bananas.
I think that was the one specific time this weekend when I definitely thought about you.
when he's talking about camels can swim. I don't know.
Well, I think it was when somebody tweeted at Jeff and said that was a
morning drive
moment. Yeah. And I was like, oh, my guy, Chuck.
Could the camel become kind of a pseudo mascot for this baseball team?
Since Jeff and I are the only ones that know about it, as far as not the coaches or their team, probably mm-hmm. not.
You don't think the coaches are in the loop on that, do you?
I wouldn't guess so.
Yeah, and you know, it's not like you really want them to be in the loop on that, probably either, do you?
I don't know.
Think of, like, if somebody took a camel to Coach Tadlock's radio show today and said, "It's your good luck. This is your good luck charm moving forward, camel."
I think he would take any good luck charms he could get.
He might say, "It's not Christmas, is it?" You know, camels, wise men, things like that.
Gotcha.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
We're going to go Red Raider football for you today. And I think there's a gimme answer. And so that's why I'm going to ask you to avoid the gimme answer.
Okay.
All
right.
Who in the Red Raider football program, as a player, okay, what Red Raider football player has pressure on them this year? Like, for example, what Red Raider player, or a different way of asking, I guess I should say, what player do you feel like needs to play better than they have been playing?
Oh,
I think the gimme answer is there's pressure on Baron Morton.
Yeah, right.
Okay. We've heard how good he could be. We've seen glimpses of him being really good. We haven't necessarily seen a ton of consistency. Mm-hmm. So I think he would be a good answer. Mm-hmm. But who's another guy that you look at this year and say, okay, this guy, it's time for you to step it up?
Mm. Yeah, because I think you're exactly right. I mean, quarterback is always going to be that. Well, not always, but I mean, in this case, it is. Quarterback is kind of where you're thinking, all right. Jeff, does anybody come to your mind right off the top of your head?
I mean, again, getting rid of the easy answer here. Wide receivers in general
would be
my first thought, yeah. But not any one of them in particular, but all of them. Your tight ends, and maybe it's not playing better for your tight ends, but more consistent. I think some of that had to do with your offensive line problems that you had last year. So I don't know that the tight ends are completely fair, because I think they got sucked into some blocking schemes that limited their catches. If I've got to pick one wide receiver, I'm going to say Dre McCray. A lot of hype with him coming in. That he was going to be your go-to guy this past year. And with Taj Brooks being Taj Brooks, who he was, and we all want to give Taj the ball more, if Dre was doing what we thought Dre would have been doing, we wouldn't have been saying that as much. Because we like passing offenses around here. It takes quite a change to have the Texas Tech air raid offense hand the ball off to Taj Brooks and want more of it. And that's where your wide receivers have been.
You want me to go, Chuck?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I was going to pick an offensive lineman. I'll pick Caleb Rogers.
Okay.
I'll pick Caleb Rogers. Only because I think your offensive line, and I think he is the face of your offensive line. And whether I'm not saying he played bad last year. I'm just saying at this point in time, he's the guy he was the hype guy during basketball. He's your most senior returner. It seems like your most experienced returner, and I think if you're gonna do well this year, the offensive line has to really step up.
Yeah, that's fair. Surely we're not going, hey, if you're the hype guy in basketball, you have to be good on the football field, right?
No.
We're not putting extra pressure on him offers to help out basketball.
I'm just saying he's the face of your offensive line.
Okay.
I mean he's the most senior because he's a super senior.
Would Cameron Valdez be a good answer for that?
I think it's a good answer. I do, because we all think he's talented. he's been around here long enough. It feels like he should be making a bigger impact.
Yeah, but you're also getting such a big impact from Taj that's limited opportunities.
Okay, so Valdez needs to stay healthy.
That would help.
Okay, he needs to play well enough that they say, hey, we've got this guy Taj that's a stud, but we've got to find ways to get the ball in Cameron's hands more. Because he's explosive, right? And so they design more plays that have him catching the passes out in the flat or doing different things, right? I think that's a good answer. I got a couple of them. One of them is going to be very offensive to Chuck Hines. It's Mason Tharp.
Yeah.
Mason Tharp's been way more about the hype and the freak show of, hey, he's a 6'9" tight end than he has. I mean, he caught 18 passes last year. Okay, I mean, we talk about that guy way too much for him to catch 18 passes in a season.
Mm-hmm. Is that his fault, though, or is that all our fault for bringing up Mason Tharp?
Okay, he's been around here long enough. Yeah.
That's a fair comment, yeah. And the question is, can he stay healthy?
Yeah, I mean, less than 200 yards receiving last year. I mean, it just feels like as much as he gets talked about, as long as he's been here,
yeah.
I would expect him, and he looks like a talented guy mm-hmm. that could do some things for you. Mm-hmm. You would think he would be a guy that could put up some good numbers for mm-hmm. you. So, I mean, part of it saying pressure is your expectations and respect for what they are or what they have the ability to be. And another one that I'm going to mention is a guy that I'm kind of high on and that I've always enjoyed, but I feel like he needs to put it together, and that's Joseph Adeyere. You need a pass rusher, and I think he's a talented guy, and at times I think he shows out, and at times he's quiet, you know? And I think he's got the talent to be a bigger factor. So, I'm high on the guy. I like his game. I just want to see a little bit more consistency mm-hmm. from him.
Yeah, no, and he's a guy that you brought up from time to time as a guy that you really need for next year. Absolutely. And especially with your losses on defense.
And the defensive line. You've got to have somebody fill those holes.
Yeah, yeah. 7:38 this morning here on the Morning Drive. Take your thoughts and comments. Yates Flooring Center chat line. You're kind of halfway through the spring right now, and you've got – obviously, your spring event coming up here in a couple of weeks.
I think Lucas has a great point on the Yates Flooring Center chat line, and it was one that I thought about as well. Maybe it's somewhat unfair, but he said, I'd say Micah Hudson has a great deal of pressure. He's expected to make a large impact immediately at a position where we have been sorely lacking. I agree with all of that. It just feels like when you're that highly recruited, that high of a recruit, you're expected, especially at that position, to come in and make a major impact. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that's not anything that he's brought upon himself. It's just those recruiting rankings and all that kind of bringing on him.
Well, and it's what Jeff started talking about at the very beginning, which is your wide receiver group. And, you know, the thing that kind of holds me back on Micah Hudson is just the fact that he's – you know, recovering from whether it's a cleanup surgery or, you know, just kind of making sure that he's going to be okay. The fact that he's not going through the spring drills is a setback.
And but, he's also a true freshman.
Yes. Yeah.
Pull those reins back just a little bit, guys. He's going to be awesome in 3 years. Let's pull the reins back just a
touch. I think what Jamie said is correct. I mean,
hey, you're seeing freshmen come in all
absolutely.
Across the country, play in certain positions and make huge impacts. When you're the number one wide receiver or whatever, number top 10 player in the country, you're expected to be good right off the bat.
And he ain't just coming here for books and tuition either. 7:39 this morning on the Morning Drive.
This is the Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Thank you for being with us today on Lubbock Sports Station. Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Jamie Lent and Jeff McGuire. I'm Chuck Hines. Great to have you with us. We come to you from our First United Bank studio here in downtown Lubbock. Look forward to hearing from you today on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Go to Double T 97.3.com for that of the mobile app. Visual Edge IT hotline is open too at 806-771-0973. Just looking at the forecast today, and we don't normally talk about that, but since we're going to have an eclipse today, looks like it's going to be cloudy at about 1:30 this afternoon, the peak of the eclipse. That's disappointing. More clouds than sun today, according to the weather person. That's disappointing. But maybe not as windy today. That would be nice.
That's positive.
Yeah, that's very positive. Man alive, it was brutal. It was brutal over the weekend. Just craziness. Tonight, are you rooting for anybody? UConn or Purdue?
Probably Purdue.
If I hadn't expressed myself on Purdue over the last few months, weeks, years, probably wouldn't.
I have a brother-in-law that went to Purdue. I'm not sure he knows they're playing or not, but I tend to root for Purdue because of that. Well, no, because he went there.
Oh, because of him. Okay. Is he an engineer?
He is.
Okay. But you're going to call him up later today and say, hey, you're playing for a title?
No, I said something to my wife. I was like, hey, Purdue's in the national championship game. You think your brother knows? And she's like, not sure.
Do you find that those types of people are healthier, or do you question their sanity, or you probably don't? I have a tendency to like, what is wrong with you? But you probably don't have any opinion one way or the other, do you?
I think the world takes all types. Mm-hmm. I fully admit and am glad that the world is not just like me.
Mm-hmm.
So that there, your comment about, oh, different things that you've said. I was out on a Sunday afternoon. I'm like, what are you people doing? Why are you not at home? Or you should be at the basketball game on Saturday. Like, what else do you possibly have to do? I fully understand that everybody is not like me. Their schedule is not the same as mine. And,
right.
and they have other interests and mm-hmm. all that good stuff. And so, yeah. So he's healthy and doing mm-hmm. well and mm-hmm. fully loaded.
Mm-hmm.
So as an engineer, so I think he's doing great, whether or not he knows. I think he was going to school at the same time as Glenn Robinson.
Okay.
And he does know who that is.
Okay. He
probably doesn't know that his nickname was Big Dog. But.
we don't want to get him on the Visual Edge IT hotline and have a conversation with them and say, hey, just your alma mater is playing for a national championship tonight. Can you give us a breakdown? No.
No.
No. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I do think, so let me ask you this. If you look at what UConn's done, I mean, it's pretty amazing what they have done as a school, because nobody else has done this. And I think, They're a blue blood or a new blue blood, just because of the number of national championships that they've won, B, how they've done it, and C, the fact that they've done it with multiple coaches.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's maybe the most impressive thing, to go from one coach to the next and then have a cheating scandal and then bring in another guy like Dan Hurley, and because he was of the Hurleys, he was the least known, Bobby Hurley, from what he did as a player at Duke, obviously the most known, and even their dad, was a renowned high school basketball coach that, got a lot of publicity because of Bobby's play at Duke. But then there's this brother, Dan Hurley. He's going to be the coach at UConn. You're like, what? Dan Hurley? Really? And then all the guy's done is win, 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 win.
Yeah, he's been really good.
And seems pretty level-headed about it, and seems like seems like a guy that you'd like to have a cup of coffee with or a beer with, or have lunch with. Seems like a kind of a regular dude. Doesn't seem to be too full of himself.
That's kind of my take on him as well.
And they could go back to back today, and then there's going to be a lot of speculation as to who gets the Kentucky job. Will they go offer him a truckload of money? Will they go after Nate Oates at Alabama? That seems to be a popular pick. Make Billy Donovan tell you no. I actually looked at the standings this morning to see where the Chicago Bulls were, because that's where Billy Donovan is right now. And he's not had great success in the NBA, neither with Oklahoma City or with the Bulls. Not like he did at Florida and what he was doing there. And the college game has changed so much now that maybe it's something that will be more attractive to him, that the recruiting is not like it was when he was at Florida. It's a different kind of recruiting. You get to actually write checks to players now, and maybe that's more attractive to him. But, I mean, they've made the play-in tournament, Jamie. That's where the Bulls are. They've clinched a spot to be in the play-in tournament.
Okay. Good luck.
Yeah. They're like 37-41 or something like that. But would you like to see Billy Donovan back in college basketball, or does it matter to you?
Yeah, it doesn't matter to me.
Okay. Do you care who gets the Kentucky job?
I think it would be awesome if Patino got it.
I'll do you one better.
I think that would be funny.
How much fun it would be if Chris Beard go to two different schools and two different conferences?
Well, he was up for the Arkansas job and reportedly was offered $5 million a year and turned it down. And my thought on that Friday afternoon when that news was breaking on Tech Talk was that he's holding out for someplace better.
I'll sit back and eat my popcorn, thanks.
That he was holding off for something better.
Yeah, I'm definitely not rooting for Chris Beard to get something better. So
no, I'm not either, but I'm just saying that he looked at the Arkansas job and kind of upped his nose at it, and then Jerome Tang turned it down. But I think Jerome Tang turned it down for the right reasons. I think he's a really good fit at K-State. And I think he's had some success there, and I think probably he can have more success there.
Chuck's saying something nice about Kansas State.
I am saying something nice about it. I've told you that I've liked him,
Jamie, do we have a thermometer somewhere? We need to make sure Chuck isn't sick.
Next thing you know, we're going to find out is that camels can swim.
This has been the Morning Drive Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at DoubleT 97.3.com.